You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, it's hour number three, Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN on a Friday in New York City. The ground was shaking this morning. Everybody felt it. We all talked about it. We have settled down. The alerts on your phone have stopped screaming. And hopefully everything is back in order and back in business here in New York. That is the news of the day, of course, and there's plenty more to get to. But before we get to one of our favorite people to have on the show, that is Monica McNutt. Bart, it's hour number three. It's Bart and Han. So what's that mean?
It's the power hour.
It's the power hour, 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 hour.
I just wanted to make sure that you were joking there when you tried to like do that all subtle. I thought, you know, maybe you were trying to impress Monica.
No, I saw Monica the other day, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She was looking like some passion fruit Skittles with all them pastel colors like she's about to go on vacation or something like that. You know what I'm saying? I was about to go to the Caribbean with her.
There's no vacation for Monica. She is one of the hardest working people in the sport, especially right now this time of year.
That is true.
And Monica joins us right now and with the Knicks in Chicago. They play tonight. You'll hear the game right here on 98.7 ESPN, also on MSG as well. Monica, how are we doing?
Hi, guys. I'm good. Funny, y'all actually got alerts. I woke up to text, like, you good? And I'm like, yeah, we just got in real late to Chicago. What are you talking about?
Right.
You're out of New York? Yeah. No, I'm not in New York.
Yeah, you had to feel it. But you've been here to Seaport, so you know here sometimes you just kind of feel the building shake sometimes because it's on a pier. So, none of us reacted. But then you go outside onto the streets, and everybody's going crazy, and obviously the phone's blowing up. So it was it was quite an experience that you did not get to experience.
Okay, so quick sidebar. I missed this one, but what was it, 2012, 2011, there was the East Coast one?
Yeah, a little shake.
Y'all remember that?
Mm-hmm. They're like a 3.2, so 3.0. Yeah,
I was working Wizards basketball camp that year, and so we just told the kids they were drilling on the roof, right? Because we didn't know what happened until after the fact. But one of my counselors, he came back the next day, and he was like, his daughter was trying to wake up her mom, and her mom was like, girl, get off the dryer. That's all that is. It was like, what? We had all these random excuses.
Right. We all, certain things that, right. Oh, the train just went by or a truck was right. Went by on the highway is always something that we just don't react to because we're just not used to it. All right. Well, anyway.
I thought it was Soto taking batting practice.
Right. Hitting bombs.
Oh, look at you.
Or maybe it's just the news of, you know, Julius Randle being out for the season. So before we get into the college stuff, let's just get into that right now. Is again, you'll be calling the game tonight. You saw last night just another typical Nick comeback win, gritty performance and all that stuff. But Monica, what are the Knicks if they don't have Julius Randle going into the playoffs?
I have an answer on the OG Anunoby question before I answer that statement?
Let's assume you'll get him back.
Okay. They are a team that still plays a physical brand of basketball. They are a team with a point guard that will draw two defenders, as Coach Tom Thibodeau loves to do, and then you can make plays from there. And they're just a team whose identity, frankly, since they've dealt with the injuries to two starters, I'm excluding Mitchell Robinson in this one because he's been out longer, their identity has been just to find a way. You mentioned Josh Hart, Han. Incredible 30-point game, flirted with a triple-double, 9 rebounds. They took that 10th back from him late in the game, 8 assists, 0 attempts from the 3-point line, y'all. And so in terms of a team that's really starting to find its way and have guys that can excel in their roles, that's what you're getting from Dante DiVincenzo. That's what you're getting from Deuce McBride as a starter. And frankly, in the last couple of games, Bojan Bogdanovic is finding his way as the spunk off the bench.
Now, you talk about guys, you know, playing in their roles and, you know, guys of, you know, you can arguably say punch above their weight class. We didn't know Hardenstein was, built like that. We didn't know that Prince Achiuwa, Achiuwa was going to be like that. But at the end of the day, you know that you aren't a maybe you aren't a true contender to deal with Boston, but you have some major decisions. This is the second year in a row in which you had to deal with an injury with Julius Randle. And you know if you're going to sign OG, that takes you out of the sweepstakes of potentially what's going to happen if, you know, things don't go well with the Clippers, things don't go well with Milwaukee and other potential stars. How confident are you in, you know, if this group is together? Have we seen enough that if this group is together, or do we have enough data to say that if this group is together, they can legitimately compete for a championship? Or
yeah, so you're basically saying run it back.
Right.
Run it back. What is running back doing?
Man, Bart, look, I would love a shot to extend what we saw from this team from January, right? And I'll remind you, one of the conversations that percolated in January, and I didn't take it very seriously, but there is an aspect of the sentiment that I do think speaks to where this organization is. There was this idea that this, being the only market bigger than LA, was a team now ripe to potentially add a LeBron James, right? Like, if he wanted to. Mm-hmm. Of course, none of us gave that any real credence. But the idea that the New York Knicks, beyond just being a original franchise in the NBA, beyond just being in New York, are now a team and an organization that has clear direction and look attractive to free agents, that part to me is legitimate. And so I do think that the team that we saw in January could shake some things up and could compete with Boston in a 7-game series. But whether you get to see that team again in that iteration or not, you are now building a franchise. You have a cornerstone point guard who is ball dominant right now because he has to be, quite frankly, but is more than willing to get off the ball. You have a location, a destination that is appealing to guys that want an opportunity to win. And so I think the summer, the world is your oyster.
So sign Bronny James, draft Bronny James and Big Papa come and support the you signing Bronny.
Now this is a whole, I'm gonna have to come back for a whole another segment on all of that because I'm confused. So no, not quite that, but I do think the Knicks are in a good position.
Yeah, and that is something that it was Bart Stradamus said.
Yeah, Bart Stradamus just talked about that whole scenario earlier this getting this show.
Yeah, when Bronny James, if anybody's just joining us, Bronny James has not only entered the transfer portal to leave USC, he is also declared for the NBA draft while maintaining his collegiate status by not signing with an agent. And so
we all know who his agent is. His daddy.
Yeah.
Rich Paul. Oh, well, yeah. Okay. That's
But whatever. It's just so Bart put it all together. Knicks have 2 second-round picks. Just take him with one of those second-round picks, and then LeBron will come and sign with the Knicks, and away we go. But
I don't actually think he's going to stay in the draft, though, y'all, personally. But we'll see.
Yeah, testing the waters probably. It's not considered to be a strong draft, so maybe this is the one you want to be in because, you know, someone might take a flyer on you as a potential, you know, future prospect to work with and whatnot. So it's a strategic move for sure. Monica McNutt joining us here. Of course, she'll be on the call tonight, the Knicks and the Bulls in Chicago on 98.7 ESPN. Ooh. 8 o'clock tip, right? So pregame is 7:30 here on 98.7 ESPN, and I'm sure we'll be bringing you in on the pregame show. Yes, I actually did see your name on the plan, so we'll be
rundown.
Talking with you.
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah.
Are you on the Magnificent Mile right now? You shopping right now, Magnificent Mile?
So I went and hit my solid core this morning, and then I did go by the Gucci store. Ended up buying a hat. Not the Gucci store. The Nordstrom store. Stopped in the Gucci boutique. Bought a cute little hat. Okay. You know how it goes. Yes, we are near shopping, which is kind of dangerous. I need to stay focused.
It's like you tell yourself no, and then you're like, but just for a second, let me just take a look.
I'm just going to go look. Yeah,
only if I find something.
You know, they have different stuff in the Midwest. They got different buyers in the Midwest than they do on the East Coast.
It's crazy,
maybe I can
right?
find something that
the
that
stores
I
have
find
different things in stock. It's unbelievable.
Different type of people.
Uh-huh. What you see on Fifth Avenue is not the same thing as you see in the Miracle Mile. It's not the same stuff.
Different people. Different swag. It's probably 50 degrees there.
It's a little chilly. That's how I ended up on a hat hunt, because it's like a little chilly, but like not too crazy.
Gotcha.
So I ended up with a coated canvas hat that is versatile for rain, sun, beach. I love it. It's a great purchase, guys.
Whatever you have to tell yourself.
Right. It's versatile. I'm going to get a lot of use out of this. Of course I need this. I can't afford not to buy this right now.
Who passes up a deal like this?
Right, exactly. So you and I are working tonight, but yet I know both of us are going to have at least one eye on what's going on in Cleveland.
Oh, for sure.
In the women's Final Four. First and foremost, Monica is somebody that is, let's see, there's Patrick Ewing, there's Allen Iverson, then there's Monica McNutt when it comes to Georgetown basketball. Monica played at Georgetown, so you certainly know what the magnitude of what has happened in this year's tournament. Just before we even talk about the Final Four matchups and everything else, when you saw that 12 million people tuned in to watch LSU-Iowa on ESPN last week, how did that make you feel?
You know, hon, this is loaded. And I shout out to Me Truly Man, My Father's Child. I was thrilled, right? And, of course, women's basketball is up. We've got these incredible talents. But, frankly, like, I'm not going to dance around it. This was the Battle of Two Americas part two, right? In terms of all of the conversation that has percolated around this particular game. I love the interest. I love the enthusiasm. I am a little bit disheartened by some of the nasty undertones that have come out of it. But we think of Magic and Larry. My dad said the second most watched game behind the Magic and Larry matchup in collegiate sports was actually Villanova-Georgetown. You know, people thought Georgetown was HBCU for a second. So, like, this is all a culmination of all the things that are a part of American culture. And I am thrilled that women have the opportunity to lead the way. But even in that, you can't escape what we are in society. And so I think it's a really dope sports moment. I am here for a thoughtful conversation around all of it, as long as it is thoughtful and done in a respectful way. But I think it's dope. And I think those women deserve every NIL bag or every future bag as WNBA stars. Let them babies cash out.
Now, I got to be honest with you, because I know there was – because you can't help it. Anything that's popular becomes politicized, right? And I know what you're getting at. And I feel like like when we focus too much on that, we're feeding into the machine. And so I refuse to do that. Like, I'm not doing that, because that's what some people are doing. They want to take something that's popular and politicize it. And that is to their agenda, not ours. For ours, it is celebrating another sport, or at least a sport – that has another component to it. Because a lot of times you weren't getting the same attention. You weren't getting the same of anything. That's why there's Title IX. But the fact that people are compelled to watch this because of the show, the spectacle, the drama. Like, I'm like tonight, and you have Iowa at UConn, the little bit of trash talk. Now, I know it was subtle, but it's still the trash talk. The Geno saying that Paige Bueckers is the best player in America and all those things. Like, I'm here for all that stuff. And then on top of it, to see it play out, to see a 27-foot-3 fading to the left, shooting with the right. Like, are you kidding me? So it's not just the story. It's also my eyes tell me to keep watching, because this is entertaining. And I think that's what I was trying to ask you, is for you to see the game develop to a point where we played something on Get Up this morning that Geno said, I think it was like 10, 12 years ago, about how UConn is this powerhouse and nobody can beat them. And he's like, and some people thought this was bad for the sport. Like, it was bad that Tennessee was so dominant. It was bad that UConn, because nobody else can be as good as you, and so it's just not good for the sport. And he said, no, what this is doing is, and I think Shanae said, the high tide raises all boats. It just eventually, and Geno predicted this, that no, more and more players will get better and better, and there'll be a lot of players, which means a lot of good players on many teams, and there'll be many good teams. And it's like sort of like we've gotten there. And so it has been good for the sport. And so I don't. Do you see it that way?
So, yes, I do. And I actually, Thursday, when I had the opportunity to join Get Up, I pointed back to, I believe, that conversation Geno was having with Scott Van Pelt.
Yes.
There's two things to it. There are more eyeballs this year and last year than ever before, right? But for those of us like myself that are true to this and are not new to this, I watched Maya Moore. I watched Candace Parker closely. I watched Diana Taurasi. I was watching Cheryl Swoopes, Cynthia Cooper, Tina Thompson when they launched the WNBA in 1996, and they went on to win four consecutive championships, right? And so, yes, what Caitlin is doing is something that we have not seen. She is absolutely going to have the potential to be in the GOAT conversation, especially if she can win, lead her team to a NCAA championship. She's changing the dynamic of the game. She's inspiring. But I think because of the growth in the platform, to pin it solely on her is a little bit unfair to all of the women that have come before her. And to Caitlin's credit, she acknowledged this at one point during the season. She shouted out all the women that were before her that helped this platform become what it is today. Now, Caitlin, Angel, Hannah Hidalgo, NC State, South Carolina, Dawn Staley, all of these players and coaches deserve credit because they are performing when the lights are the brightest. If the lights were this bright and people were interested, and games was 42-46, like, you'd have a hard time holding on to it, right? And so there's a lot of good happening. And the conversation of the GOAT leading, not leading necessarily, but being on Get Up and First Take and a popular conversation on national sports shows, I love it. It's all great for the game of women's basketball. But the frustration has probably come from, Han, folks, like I said, that are true to this, not new to this, and the new folks not necessarily doing their research. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not mad at that because I think you can deal with it in a healthy way. The same thing happens in men's sports, right? Like,
yes.
You can listen to Mad Dog yell about the old school, too. And so for me, if we can do it respectfully, it's all healthy. It's all fun. To your point, the politicizing agenda, while sometimes there are some real conversations that need to be had there, I don't think that that has to lead the way if you are truly intending to celebrate what is right. happening, because there's a lot to celebrate.
I mean, we see this in everything, right? It's funny because I remember the movie The Great White Hype, and it really was a story about Larry Holmes and Jerry Cooney. And literally they say, hey, I like to put $5 on a clean-cut white guy, right? It was like one of those things. But
that's always been
the undertone of sports, because no matter how we try and act.
That was the undertone of Bird versus Magic.
Yeah, of course.
Like, that's exactly what that was about.
But this is the thing, right? What Caitlin Clark is running into, like, you only get a few times to revolutionize a sport. And it's about timing, mm-hmm. right? Because if you talk about who revolutionized basketball, took it to the next level, they're not going to really talk about Bird and Magic. They're going to talk about Michael Jordan, you know, making it a global sport.
Right.
But we still talk about Elgin Baylor, Dr. J, and Wilt Chamberlain, and Bill Russell, and all those things, right?
But even that, into what? That turns into the J.J. Redick comment about plumbers and electricians versus, George Mikan.
I
these are guys that are like, seriously? Like,
but it wasn't like
disrespecting
that.
Disrespecting the past.
But it wasn't like that with Larry Bird. We had came past the plumber and electricians when Bird and Larry
Larry Bird
there.
Was having a six-pack at halftime, ripping darts, okay? It was a different era.
But it still was a higher quality play, and it was a more level playing fields, and you can get into free agency and all that stuff but then you get into wrestling, right? I always tell people all the time, like, Hulk Hogan, globalized sports and took it to the mega level, right? And you talk about boxing, Muhammad Ali, and then Mike Tyson took it to another level. Muhammad Ali took it to a global level,
right?
But it's about timing, right? And I think women's basketball, particularly college basketball, because I feel like it's so regionalized that you're going to always have those built-in fans that just, college towns. That's why it's, college basketball, college basketball is better than me than a professional game. But when I look at it, I look at this as an opportunity, and women's basketball is in the same place when I believe, Serena Williams and Venus came there, globalizing, where now the product is, the woman's product is just as close to the men's product, right? We saw the three-point competition where we thought, oh, this is Steph Curry. Nobody can hang with him. And it was close, right? And we see that outside of the dunking of the basketball, like, this is competitive, high-level skill. I'm watching Juju, and I don't know if I'm watching her, if I'm watching Kyrie Irving when she coming down the lane, through the leg, subtle stuff, through the leg, back through the leg, crossover,
Euro
spin,
step.
Shot. Like, yo, what the – yo, this is high-quality stuff.
So I'm
excited about that as a girl dad, we can start seeing these players as just basketball players, not even particularly women or black
players.
Or white, but we know that no matter what, in this country and in the world, race is always going to be the undertone of all things.
We have to
accept that bad part of it
right.
And move past the conversation. It's always going to be knuckleheads.
That's what they do.
That parachute in and they notice,
there's
a white girl right here. I like that, because what they're saying is they're identifying, okay, my daughter can see somebody that looks like her. And we're saying our daughters look like her. We're saying, hey, the gender should see it, not the race. The gender. But,
And frankly, y'all, to your point about being a girl dad, Bart, everybody should see it. Gender, that shouldn't matter.
No.
Because everybody getting paid. That leads to my other question. Why the hell is Angel Reese leaving and taking a pay cut to go to the WNBA? And what kind of pressure?
$76,000?
I got to stop y'all. Because this continues to be perpetuated, and it's not quite true.
Okay.
Her deals are going to follow her, y'all. Now, granted, hold on. The pay cut, the collective of LSU, I'm not 100% sure what the collective has shelled out for her, right? So, yes, she may be leaving that money on the table. However, her deals and stuff are going to follow her. And so I think I understand the conversation around the WNBA needing to level up its resources for its players, the salary opportunities, Yeah, the league is 27 years old. Like, it's still growing. There's a lot to do. They just got a CBA that they were really proud of. That CBA may be up this particular year.
The TV deal will fix that.
But they should make more money. Right. They should make more money than having to go to Russia or China to play. Like, we need to see that immediately.
But that's what this is about. This movement right now is about that one day they'll be, like, when Juju
day,
is.
I'm saying it needs to be today.
Yeah.
Forget one day. It is enough
it
money.
Don't happen
I don't care
right
if
now, Bart. No.
Listen, the NBA. If they want to talk about equality, they need to go ahead and take that money that they share along the teams and push it into the league.
Oh, you want NBA players to give out money?
No, I want NBA, the league, that's printing money with these ESPN dens. I need them to pump money into the WNBA.
They split the money with the players.
Nah, they got more money than that, man.
They do?
Stop it. We need to put some money in these women.
Bart's doing that.
So we can raise the salary cap.
Let me say, I will say this. This conversation is as loud as it's ever been, right? And so there are things in place. The WNBA players have the opportunity to opt out or in of their current CBA to force negotiations. But this thing, again, the NBA, what did when we celebrated 75 of the NBA, I think the WNBA celebrated 25. And so the W is behind. It's a shorter league. It's a smaller league. Change is coming. I do believe that. But we got to keep pushing forward. Just like Gino said about them dominating, you got to have the Caitlins and the Angels that demand a certain level of attention. But you also need owners like Mark Davis in Vegas, like the size of Brooklyn, like the new ownership group supporting Golden State. You need owners that are in as well. And so there's so many facets of this conversation. The players are aware. I think smart ownership is aware. The Kathy Engelbert commissioner, they are aware. So it is coming, but it's going to take a little while.
We'll go to the big three real quick and make that $5 million and say and tell the WNBA, I'll see you after I go get this $5 million.
Would you do that,
y'all,
Monica?
Start paying me that money.
I'll
do it off principle.
Listen, I don't like it because I don't want you to be a
principle. Will Chamberlain played in the Harlem Globetrotters. Whoever gets spending that money is who I'm going to get my resources
what
to.
What would you do, Monica? Would you do it?
I'm not going to hold you. There's a part of me that's like, and this is where, again,
don't be a novelty.
Not new to this. Exactly. It's like, do you want to be a spectacle? Yeah. Do you want to be a spectacle?
But you're doing it for the greater good. You're proving a point. Like, I got to go play somewhere, half court with somebody.
Yep.
Are you?
Because what is that going to look like, right? Like, what is that actually going to look like?
It's going to look like I'm killing Katino Mobley, old ass. And I'm getting that check.
Why is Katino Mobley getting astray right now?
Only person I can think about in big three.
And y'all are my guys, whether we're talking women's sports or not, but like even this conversation, right? Like, I just love that the conversation is there. And so much of what we see happen in sports and marketing is what the public demands. And so if the ravaged fan base that has followed both Angel and Caitlin follows along to the WNBA, then the demand for the W to grow and be better supported is going to continue to get louder and louder as the fan base grows.
It's the,
so
right,
all
it's
things the, are pulling in the right direction.
That's right.
But
the pioneers that helped one day a girl who is not even in college now will make millions of dollars playing in the WNBA because of what Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark and everybody else has been doing.
But the Maya Moores have already done that. They didn't reap the benefits. So, yeah, the college kids coming over with the NIL deals, they're able to keep their money, but it's people that's there.
But
that
if it
was
wasn't
right,
for Maya Moore, you might not have Paige Beckers. You might not have Angel
hold
Reese.
Hold on. What I'm trying to
say.
That's actually
a good point, Bart, because
that's what I'm trying to say.
And this is, again, this is part of growing because the NBA has a retired players association, right? So part of the WNBA growing, hopefully, in an ideal situation, there would be some retroactive
That's what we did for our players when we got our new deals. We put money in there for their health care, for retirement, for resources for them to go to school. But what I'm saying
that's
is –
that's a TV deal that will give you that money.
But what I'm saying is before you look at the new NIL deals, what about the people that was 1 or 2 years before the NIL deal? So you got these young kids coming in making twice as much money as me because they bring all this marketing and social and all these NIL deals with them. And then here I am. I'm a better player. I'm Sue Bird, and they making way more money than me. Like, nah.
But Bart, that's the same thing that
I'm, what I'm
that,
saying.
That the guys are
so
like, Dave Cowens could
look,
say
look,
that.
I'm talking about this gray area that exists.
But basically, Bart's other thing in life is apparently to invent a time machine that transports money back to folks that
exactly.
were a part of paving
right.
the way.
I that's mean, the NBA started out this way. Those guys weren't making enough money even. They had to have jobs in the offseason.
No, but I'm talking
every
about,
league started like
but
this.
But we're in this small gray period. It's like these last players that's 5 to 5 years in the league.
But you understand this paves the way for more.
I understand.
And then there's the demand. See, this is what I think. And I know we're going way long on this, but I love the conversation. Like, look at that. 12 million people watch this game. ESPN is aware of that. when there's time to re-up a deal,
yeah.
What do you think you're going to pay? The same price? No, because now the price goes up. More revenue goes into it. Now, all of a sudden, these players are going to the WNBA. There'll be more demand, you think, for the people that want to watch WNBA games. Those ratings go up.
See,
when those ratings
so.
Go up,
I don't think so. You're,
what do you mean you don't think so?
I don't think so.
What don't you think? That's usually how it goes.
This is why I don't think so. Because we discussed this last week, and you had a brilliant point earlier in this week. The problem with the WNBA isn't the product, it's the time in which they play.
Okay.
They need to change the schedule where people in the eyes, ain't nobody going to be doing. Listen, Monica got a summer vacation. You know what I'm saying?
Monica also has a game to call tonight, and we're holding her up,
saying,
it seems like.
She has a summer vacation. And she told me earlier, I ain't going to share her business to the world. She got something big to do this summer. She ain't going to be paying attention to what's going on in the damn summertime basketball sports. That's why nobody watch no damn baseball in summertime. Kids are out of school. Everybody going to be out. They need to move the schedule of the WNBA so that they can get those ratings that the college is getting.
Bart, one day we're going to have this conversation and just hash all this out because it's not that simple, though.
Right.
And I will be watching W after I get past my big event because I love the W and it's also my job. But, like, you flip that, then you're now competing with space and venues for the NBA.
The arenas aren't as available. That's what I told you.
Taking away these women's opportunity to go overseas and make the real money compared to the W.
See, so overseas, like, make the real money. Real money should be here.
Okay.
I hear you, but we got to tackle one thing at a time.
Clearly, like, this is its own show. This is a podcast that we need to do one of these days because there's so much. No, but Monica, there honestly is a lot of things with this to peel back because of what we're experiencing right now. And let's see what happens in the Final Four this weekend. All right, I got to let you go, but I can't without you making some picks. So, NC, what do you got for me tonight? South Carolina, who nobody's talking about. They're just undefeated, but nobody's talking about them. Them and NC State, who you got?
I'm taking South Carolina. I love Westmore. I love Isaiah James. NC State has a hell of a run to be here. But I think South Carolina, a little bit different from last year's team, has been tested even in this tournament as well as their conference tournament. So I think there's the necessary scar tissue there. If that game gets tight, that they should be able to pull it out. And, frankly, I want Dawn Staley to get an undefeated run. So, I'm giving it away. I'm taking South Carolina win it all. I'll take South Carolina tonight. And I actually think I'm taking UConn tonight because they'll let Caitlin Clark do her thing and stop everybody else.
What's more compelling, though? See? You know, Dawn Staley gets the get back on Iowa for putting them out last year, or Geno, who said they played like the bad boys of the late 80s.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Because he has some choice words about Dawn Staley, how their team play.
I think the UConn matchup would have a little more spice to it.
I think
UConn this morning.
I'm going to go UConn.
As well. Yeah, I picked UConn as well. But you got South Carolina winning it all, going full undefeated. All right. Well, this is going
to
be fun.
Undefeated. Give it to us.
This is going to be fun.
Well, Dawn's the highest paid coach in the league, so at least she's getting her due.
And she's also going
to invite. She need to come to the league.
When they cut the nets down, you don't think she's not going to look into the camera and say, hey, everybody – you forgot about us. You were talking about everybody else.
No, I need her to go coach the Pistons.
Don't forget about us. Monica, thank you so much, and thank you for the extra time. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
Go to Michael Jordan Steakhouse, man. Tell him it's on me.
Okay, copy. I got it.
You'll hear Monica tonight on the call. Tip-off is at 8 o'clock. Knicks and the Bulls. And, of course, just like the rest of us, she'll be one-eyed. I'm sure she'll have it on her phone or something watching the Final Four tonight. All right, we're very late. 800-919-3776 with the call. Stay with us, Barton Hunt, 98.7 ESPN.
Yesterday's price is not today's price.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Bart's got his ukulele up.
Duke's eyes are saying.
Stomp that foot.
Got to pat that foot. Yeah, pat that thing.
You all about this, aren't you?
I rock with that bluegrass.
Now we got to make sure we play the right music for the last segment, which is, of course, when Bart has the can't wait stuff, but we always have our Friday song. It is a thriller at in the Bronx. 0-0 through
zero.
Five.
No hit through seven?
No, there's hits.
No,
there's,
I'm saying we ain't going to have the same thing.
Oh, Gary. Okay. No hits. Nobody in the building. Rock bottom.
It feels like rock bottom.
I don't think Michael Kay would be saying that. But so far, though, a good outing from Marcus Stroman. Three hits. Five strikeouts.
Want to be at home. 86. So scared to start pitches. On the road.
Oh, well, he did pitch on the road. He just didn't take the opener. That's all. You did see him on the road.
Scary cat.
I mean, whatever.
Thought he spot all that smoke.
Yeah. 800-919-3776. Did you know, and then I know we talked long with Monica, so we really don't have much time here.
That's perfect.
Do you wear jeans?
Yeah.
You like wearing jeans?
Yeah. Mine's are usually blended fabrics.
Blended fabrics. What does that mean?
Usually have a little pim in there, a little stretch in a little bit now.
That's always helpful.
Or have a little spin. That way they don't have to be big and too big. You know what I mean?
Well, apparently wearing jeans is not good for the environment.
Man, I don't care.
There was a study done that the carbon footprint.
Ooh.
Yeah, is jeans production and cross-broad transportation contributed to 91% of the carbon footprint of fast fashion consumption.
I'll tell them this.
So
my jeans are made so high quality.
Don't wear jeans.
No, mine are made so high quality. And it's the same thing that you have when people want to talk about these little fake batteries and stuff that get frozen in these electric EVs. That, oh, we don't have a carbon print. Yes, you do. Because that big factory you got to use to use that battery and bail that battery puts a huge carbon print there. So miss me with all that stuff, man.
No, buying like, it. You're going to keep wearing your jeans. I'm going to wear my jeans proudly.
Right. You want to know why?
Why?
Because I buy nice, high-quality jeans. I ain't going to put the names out there because I don't want nobody swagger jacking my jeans.
I see.
If I wear my jeans, I got some jeans that I ain't had for 20 years. So if I got one pair of jeans for 20 years and you got some jogging pants and stuff like that that collectively have a higher footprint, I'm winning. Buy some quality jeans, son. You don't have to buy them once or twice.
This was an interesting story that caught my attention, that's all. Because I always find it funny that we get told about things that are just part of our everyday life that suddenly it's like, you shouldn't be doing that.
Right. So we shouldn't be buying rubber shoes.
So if I stop wearing jeans, I will be saving the planet.
Save the earth.
Yes.
Get an electrical car. Then when it's getting cold and all the charging stations freeze, I'm stranded.
Or the batteries.
Yeah, the batteries burn up and burn ships and the carbon imprint when they catch fire. Like when you look at these electric scooters and these electric cars, these Porsches that catching on fire, these Audis that all share the same battery, start burning up. How much emissions is we getting in with that? The toxic emissions.
I love getting you fired.
I remember somebody told me I had a fur coat on and he was telling me, don't go around the corner. They're throwing paint on people. Ha! They throwing paint on people. It's going to be a misunderstanding. They'll throw some damn paint on something I paid for.
I love getting you fired up, man.
Somebody would throw some paint on some clothes I bought.
I did find out about the stadium that the A's are going to play in.
Mm-hmm.
Center field is 403. So it's not a little bandbox. I mean, right field is 325.
Who cares? Nobody cares about the dimensions.
Who cares?
Like, that's the funny thing is, like, when they were in Oakland, were they even getting 14,000?
I know. No, nobody was going. Anybody they going, they were just booing the whole time anyway. So, they're miserable fans. So they're like, just mad.
Oakland's losing everything.
It's kind of sad, right? Don't you think that, like, that's really sad?
It is. Like, the Golden State really ain't in Oakland no more.
No, they're in San Francisco. They're downtown. That's where they started. Yeah. They just went back where they started.
Yeah.
But the A's, it's always
What's
been.
Going on with the city of Oakland? Is it getting ran in the ground?
I guess.
They got no money?
There's just nothing there. You know, they couldn't. They weren't building stadiums. Like, all that era is over.
Ghost town, man.
And just also tying up some loose ends. You know the cicadas thing I was telling you about?
Mm-hmm.
The cicada.
Yeah, you told me that don't go to the Midwest.
Yeah, Midwest, where it's like trillions of them are going to emerge like in a couple of weeks.
I can't just set them on fire.
Aaron tweeted at us that there is a known benefit of cicadas.
And what's that?
They're a valuable food source for birds and other predators.
Oh, they feed the birds.
They also aerate lawns and improve water filtration.
Oh, because they make
the
holes. Because they make holes.
They add nutrients to the soil as they decompose. So,
but what about when they fall on the concrete?
And
all
they crackle.
All they do that they is maybe crunchy? Step on them and maybe cake bacteria into my house because I got goo on the bottom of it.
Just take your shoes off.
They aerate.
Don't you take your shoes off when you go in your house? You wear your shoes around your house.
Not
the
all
ones you, like you walk around this filthy city
sometimes.
With your sneakers on right now. The ones you're wearing, whatever you're wearing on your feet, you always have nice shoes. You go home and you keep walking around your house.
Sometimes I don't take them carpet. Out of me all the time. I don't have carpet.
At all, anywhere.
No.
All right, but it's on your hardwood floor, on your tile.
But those get clean.
But your shoes aren't clean.
Yeah, but then when I walk on them, they get clean. Because we mop. I don't like carpet. Mm. Only place I have carpet is in my basement.
Yeah, I get
I'm an
that.
Air rug guy, so like
I'm big
so sterile that way. Like
hardwood
so,
everywhere.
So when it gets so when it gets mopped.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree.
Nothing, no microorganisms living in shag carpet.
No, not at all.
I do have a shag carpet area rug, though.
Shag, like you know.
Yeah, like 70s, 80s.
Like a shag
it's
carpet?
Purple. It's purple.
Phrasing?
Shag, baby.
Yeah, baby. Shagalicious.
All right. This is the Such a Friday Vibe kind of segment. We'll finish up with some calls and also a bar. Can't wait to see this weekend. I imagine some basketball is on the docket.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah.
It's the best part of the show. It's the best part of the week.
Yeah, that's because the show almost over.
That's right, baby.
Just got paid Friday night. Body jumping. Feel all right. Booty shaking. Dance to the beat. I get
all home, right, Bart Scott.
On the beat.
What is it that you can't wait to see this weekend?
Listen, this is the grand finale, baby.
Mm-hmm.
We've been waiting for this. Usually, typically, the undercard is better than the main event.
Okay.
And I believe that is true about what's going to happen with this women's tournament, Final Four.
Yeah.
South Carolina versus Carolina. South Carolina versus North Carolina.
State. Mm-hmm.
They're the little engine that could.
Right.
They're the Cinderella story. I think it turns 12 o'clock for them.
Oh, no.
But, man, is it? Would we call it 50-50? Caitlin Clark versus Paige Becker?
Yeah.
Paige Becker has the better team.
To pick them.
Caitlin Clark is the unstoppable force.
Yep.
Can she pull a rabbit out the hat and submit herself as one of the greatest, if not the greatest?
Does she have to drop 40 to win? If they win, does she need? How about this? I'm going to give you over 30. Do they have to? Win if she scores over 30?
She got to have 14 assists.
Oh, damn!
Because they're going to be doing everything to take the ball out of her hands. She
got
to
believe it.
She got to make the right passes.
Yeah, you got to believe it.
You know what I'm saying? And I think we have an incomplete You know what I mean? When you think about if she doesn't win and she doesn't even get an opportunity to play for a national championship, you know what I'm saying? Well, she played for one last year. But if she doesn't win a national championship, what that means, you know what I mean? Because in this country, in this world, I want winners.
All right.
And if you don't win the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
it's just like horseshoes.
Okay.
It only counts. Close only counts in horseshoes.
Can I, obviously you're looking forward to that. Can I have a what I can't wait?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I just, on a whim, because always at 2:30 on the show, I always check if the Knicks are playing the injury report.
Mm.
I can tell you that there is a change on the Knicks injury report for tonight.
Obi Joby?
Listed as questionable, OG Anunoby. No longer is he out. Now, questionable. Now, that doesn't mean he'll be in tonight. But could he be in the next game? They play Sunday night in Milwaukee against the Bucks. And oh, by the way, can I also, if you don't mind, a little promotion?
Absolutely.
I'm calling the game with Mike Breen on MSG Networks.
Bang!
Sunday night.
Bang!
In Milwaukee.
That's my dog.
I'm pretty excited about that.
That's my dog.
One more game I get to do this season.
Bang!
Could the Knicks be as close? Like they'll be basically 90% whole if OG Anunoby is back by Sunday, right? He's listed as if he's questionable tonight. He could be probable by Sunday if he's practicing. So that will be the closest to whole they will be. They will never be whole because Randle is out for the season. But that will be something to see with the week to go in the season.
With that.
So that's what we've got going on. So we're getting closer to the end.
Everybody tune in Sunday for
Sunday night in Milwaukee.
You flying first class? They better put you on Spirit. They better have my boy on Spirit. Flying low class.
I'm not telling you what I'm on, but it's not Spirit.
Okay, but I'd say put my boy on Spirit, but flying low class. Seats don't recline. My boy needs the extra space seats too. He's 6'12".
I'm meeting the team in Chicago, and then we'll be heading up to Milwaukee. So it's fun.
You gonna kick it in Chicago first? Okay.
Yeah. You're gonna hang out.
Man, you should let me know.
I just did. When do you ever need time?
I know, man.
What?
Could have went to the Midwest, huh?
Yeah.
Could have did the show on the road, brought my Comrex.
We could have done that Monday.
Yeah,
I have to fly back Monday early so that we could do the show together.
I just stay out there. Well, no. It's Milwaukee.
I got it. I'm in Chicago.
Oh.
Yeah, but I'm getting back here because I don't want to mess around. Solar. Remember, we have the solar eclipse.
So how the pilot?
6 a.m. I'm flying 6 a.m.
How the pilot gonna see?
Early. That's not till later.
What if you go in there and you start to go in and you see your pilot with those weird got little paper glasses on?
I ain't getting on.
He's sitting there like, come on in. Like, hey man, hold on, man. I expect you to have some Apple goggles on, some high tech stuff. What if you get shot in the side of the eye with the beam? I can't see.
What is wrong with you?
Come in there, you gotta tell the pilot what to do. Pilot like, all right, see this level right there? It should be one green.
Does anybody know how to fly a plane?
Pull that one for me.
No, I'm good. But I need to hear one more time. As the Mets finished up playing at home, they're now on the road. They're playing at Cincinnati tonight. I need to hear it one more time.
Yeah, man.
Gary Cohen calling it. This is time of death.
Take us home, Gary.
162 game season.
Take us home,
please, Gary. Take us home.
1-5, hitless through 7. Feels like rock bottom.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
If that don't get you fired,
see you Monday.
Nobody in the ballpark. 1-5, hitless through 7. Feels like rock bottom.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.